It's just cold in the IGAI.
This room is always, it follows the seasons. In the winter, it's a little colder than everything else. And in the summer, that's when we're like, let's get a fan.
To record a podcast, we should be fighting for our lives.
Yeah, I think you're probably
surviving
right.
The Arctic temperatures.
Yeah, my watch says it's 21 degrees. It's pretty cold here.
That's crazy. All right.
Yeah, or it's talking about outside. I don't know which. Yeah. So hopefully our listeners are either listening to this somewhere else in the world or in a different season, and then you'll just laugh at 21 degrees as opposed to cry a little bit. Yeah. It's good. Of course, 21, I don't know if you've felt like this today or yesterday.
It feels warm.
It feels warm.
Yeah, it's been that. Well, the sun being out helps a ton. Yeah.
A 20 to 30 degree swing, no matter where you're at, is a lot.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's right.
So anyway, well, Jeff, it's good to have you here on this podcast as a guest speaker. Please, everyone, welcome Jeff Bogue as a one and only time guest here. No, there was no applause or nothing.
That's so
I was waiting for it. You know, like
you know, there's these churches like they applaud every time the pastor walks out to speak, and I'm like, yeah, not mine. I can barely get a clap when asked for one.
We just had our annual leadership summit, and I'm sure you picked. I mean, I really tried to get in it, and they gave you a pretty good
Welcome. They did, but you had to work it.
I had to work it.
It's definitely not our instinct.
No, it's not. That's cool. It's like, yeah, it's Jeff. All right, what do you got for us?
Yeah. Yeah. We're here. You called the meeting.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my goodness. Well, everyone out there that's wondering what the heck we're talking about, this is today's episode of Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue. I'm Joe Caruso, and we are glad that you're here. I wish, you remember that one time, actually, at the Leadership Summit, we did a live version of this?
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
We should figure out an environment and do that again. That was just a good time.
Yeah, it was good. Studio audience.
A studio audience. This is taped, actually, every week it's taped in front of a live studio audience. It's just Jason.
Yeah.
but we are, he's giving us applause right now. I appreciate it. But there are a lot of voices out there, including Jason's, but it's also including, you know, news, social media, comedians, friends. It is tough to know what to think or how to make decisions because of all of those voices. Man, that's really good. Every once in a while, see, I was just going to say, every once in a while, my peach and spediment kicks in, and this is one of those moments. But we are glad that you're here and we can help you sort through the noise and think through things in a way that allows us to cut through all the mixed messages around us and find the way to Jesus. Let's go ahead and dig into it. Jeff, we've been in some circles lately that have asked questions just about different types of leadership and how that works and what makes a pastor and what makes a leader this, that, and the other. And we thought it would be good to address here on the podcast and help people get into that because most folks... they don't know. They just kind of show up, and there's a guy being applauded as he comes onto the stage. And and that's kind of it. You teach, and you pass it off to some other people with a microphone, and who's who, what's what makes that guy, and it can be helpful to understand that. So what makes a pastor in this case, or even an elder, and not, quote-unquote, just a different leader or one of the ministers of the church?
Yeah, it's calling and appointment and spiritual maturity and all those kind of things. So, like when you think about a church, right? Mm-hmm. So, in the church, you're going to have people who attend the church. One of the names or metaphors that Jesus uses when he's talking about the church is he calls it a flock.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're a churchy person, you know that like sometimes we'll say that the church is a flock and it's populated by sheep, right? So there's sheep and there's shepherds. You see that imagery a lot in the Bible. So when you think about a church, if you started to like think about the church as like a pyramid, so to say, in terms of leadership, and what I just said is really important, so I'll say it again, in terms of leadership,
yep,
not value, not voice, nothing like that, just in terms of leadership, you would have like the congregation or we call it the footprint. And so Grace Church, as an example, we would influence actually tens of thousands of people who would say, I listened to one of the pastors. If I was going to go to church, I would go to Grace Church. Maybe I listened to this podcast or one of our other ones. If there was a funeral or if I needed some spiritual advice, I would think of Grace Church as a place that I would go.
Yeah.
So that's our footprint. Then we start talking about like more of our core or our engaged people. And so that engagement is kind of everyone who is purposely active at Grace Church. Mm-hmm. And then that number is into the thousands as well. And so those are all of us. Like you and I would be in that big number too.
Yep, yep.
And these are people that the kids come to sports camps or they come to one of the youth ministries and they would be regular enough that they are actively a part of the church on some level, mm-hmm. right? So that pyramid starts to narrow, mm-hmm. right? So you got the footprint, and then you've got that engagement. And then we have what we would call the leadership core. And a leadership core would be anybody who leads at any level spiritually at Grace Church.
Yeah.
So they teach a Sunday school class, they lead a life group, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe they're in the band, they help with the worship team. They may serve coffee, but if you would be invited to like the leadership summit, or you would think of yourself as I have like a defined role, and that defined role has a bit of a defined goal, mm-hmm. and it could be. My defined role and defined goal is to like put my arm around somebody and welcome them to Grace, or it could be like my life group's coming over, or I need to prep for this Bible study that I'm gonna lead. So there's like layers like within that. So out of that third layer, then and of course it starts to get more narrow. Thinking about a pyramid, out of that third layer, then you get into what the Bible titles eldership, mm-hmm. and eldership is where you really start to have definition from the scripture. Now, there's kind of two levels to this. One is what the Bible calls deacons. Mm-hmm. And so deacons are spiritual leaders who serve. And there are deacons and deaconesses. And mm-hmm. there would start to be qualifications. They have to have, they have to be spiritually mature. They have to have a good reputation with outsiders. So they have to have integrity in the community, et cetera, et cetera. They love people. They don't abuse their position. They're not in it for the power. They're not in it for the special parking spots, all those kind of things. And they, deaconess level would be leading a lot of ministry, doing ministry on kind of varying degrees of spiritual intentionality. So it could be like, I make sure that the First Impressions is running all the way to like I'm on a prayer team.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the pyramid narrows, and near the top of that is what the Bible would call elders. Mm-hmm. And the word elder in the Bible just means overseer. Mm-hmm. And at Grace Church, we would look and say, our church is led by the elders. So think of the top of that pyramid. Those elders, the Bible has very clear definitions to them. So they are to be able to teach and preach. They are to be the husband of one wife. They are to manage their home well. Their mm-hmm. children are not called to be perfect,
right.
but they're called to be respectful or well-led in their home. They are not to elder for personal gain. Mm-hmm. They do not, the Bible uses this term, they do not lord their authority. Mm-hmm. So they are servant leaders. And I could go on and say some other things, but they are servant leaders. Elders are men who are recognized by the congregation as their spiritual leaders. Mm-hmm. So like at Grace, these are not elected positions. We don't. Churches aren't actually supposed to work as a democracy.
Right.
It's not in the Bible. That's just the American way. So these are not elected positions. They're not something you lobby for. This is men who are full of integrity, full of love. They understand God's word. They can handle the responsibility, and they're willing to handle the responsibility mm-hmm. of spiritual leadership. And they do that with a humility and grace. So the way that, for instance, at Grace, when we do this, in fact, we're going to do this here in 2026, we will every few years appoint new elders and we will affirm them. So there's this whole process they go through. They are background checked. We interview people they work with. We interview their spouse. We interview their family. They take a verbal test about the statement of faith. Like, do you know your theology and your doctrine? Right. Are you actively serving? Are you actively giving at Grace Church? And then they are screened by the existing elder team. Then their name and face, we'll use video for this, their name and face will go on every screen at Grace Church for 2 weeks in a row. And I mean all of our campuses, Atlanta, everywhere. And what we say is, we're going to, let's just say it was you, we feel like God wants us to appoint Joe Caruso as an elder. Do you know anything that we don't know about this guy? Do you respect him? Would you follow him? And really the question is, are you following him already?
Right.
And then after the congregation affirms that, they're not electing, they're affirming that, then that lay elder, we call them, they're non-pastoral or non-staff elders, are appointed into leadership. That is the highest level of leadership at Grace Church. Now, in that same tip of the I'm making a pyramid with my hands, if you're listening to this, in the same tip of that pyramid, that's where pastors sit. So spiritually, every man who is called to be a pastor has to be qualified to be an elder. Now, governance-wise, at Grace Church, we have lay elders, we have staff elders, and our constitution says there has to be more lay elders on the board than staff elders on the board. So I'm not talking about how the governance of the church works. I'm talking about the spiritual qualifications. And those men have to qualify under all the same aspects of eldership. And then what they are is we qualify as elders, and then we are appointed into the office of pastor. And so what I do with my life and what you do with your life is I serve in the office of the pastorate, shepherding the people of Grace Church alongside our elders and our deacons and deaconesses and our all of our lay leaders. And together, we equip the body to do the work of the ministry. So for us, like if somebody said, like, Jeff, you're the senior pastor, I'm the Bath Campus pastor, I'm the senior pastor of Grace Church. So does that mean you're in charge of all of Grace Church? I would say no. I lead the church with our elders. So I am an elder, and I'm accountable to our elders.
Right.
And so you could say I'm administratively in charge of Grace Church. And it is also my job to set the vision and the direction and understand the spiritual health of the church. I don't do that alone. I do that with them. But obviously, I'm free to do that all day, every day. And our lay elders have careers and businesses and jobs and whatever it is that they're doing. So that's the way that it works. And so there is a difference between a lay leader, an elder, and a pastor. And that role of pastor is an assigned role. Now, the same thing, I have to be the husband of one wife, so I have to have a healthy marriage, not a perfect one, healthy marriage, and to manage my household. So my children are not on display. I heard a pastor one time say, your family is your resume. I said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Because my children get to find their relationship with God. So the question is not, are my children performing spiritually? The question is, did I train them properly? Because they have to decide their own relationship with God. Sure. I can't do that for them. But did I train them properly? And when they were younger, did I manage them properly? My kids out of control, or they, you know, did I discipline my children appropriately and all this kind of stuff? Do I have a good reputation with outsiders? That doesn't mean that everybody likes me.
No, sure.
Right, but do I have that reputation? And do I have can I handle the Word of God appropriately? That's why, like, our pastors, mm-hmm. we're like, you guys need to go to seminary. You need to learn your theology, because what we do is really, really important. And because we're teaching God's Word, we should study it and master, so to say, the teaching of it. So that's where my fancy name is Dr. Bogue. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, that's my job, mm-hmm. you know? And what I tell people about God, they listen to me, mm-hmm. Because they trust me, feel loved by me, and because I've been appointed.
Yep.
So I do that. And that is my calling. That is my appointment. That is my spiritual gifting. That is my spiritual responsibility. I said about five things. Ready? Mm-hmm. The very bottom of that list is it's my job and source of income. So if I didn't, the church is very loving. And by the way, it's very biblical that you would support a pastor or a missionary. But if the church couldn't, mm-hmm. This happened to the Apostle Paul a few times. The church often supported him. There's a few times they couldn't. So he would go into his, he was a craftsman, he would make tents. So if the church couldn't, I would go make a living and still fulfill all of the responsibilities and all of the places of my appointment. In fact, that's actually why Heidi and I own businesses. Mm. Because for a while there, the church couldn't support us mm-hmm. To the degree that we needed. And so we started businesses. We're like, well, we'll just be a tent maker, mm-hmm. right? Now the church grew, and now the church can, and now, like, if you own businesses, you realize this is kind of where you live. You know, so Heidi runs our businesses, mm-hmm. and I give my all my time and dedication to the church, and that's the way it plays out. But that's not a job function.
No.
These are all spiritual responsibilities that I would say if I wasn't pastoring— mm-hmm. I would be dishonoring my relationship with God.
Yeah.
Right? So that's kind of the difference with it.
Yeah. Now, one of those differences that I would love us to talk through is kind of, sometimes people talk about like the unique burden that maybe a pastor or an elder would carry. Mm-hmm. And some people, they really want to lean into that. They want to pray for you specifically, or they want to help support you specifically. And other people might, oh, yeah, other jobs are tough, too. Like, UPS people work hard at the holidays, and so do pastors, and cops have to work weekends, and doctors are on call. It's just like that, right? Is there a unique burden and weight to what it means to be a pastor or an elder?
Yeah, there is, and it's not the only occupation where there's a unique burden and weight.
Right, yep.
But there is a unique burden and weight to it, because so most people would have a work life, a personal life, and a church life is how you would say it, or a spiritual life. Mm-hmm. A pastor has one. So my family, my occupation, my walk with God, and my participation in the family of God are all the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's where that weight gets heavy. So like if you think about somebody who comes to Grace, are we friends? Yes. Am I your brother in Christ? Yes. Am I your pastor? Yes. Am I your spiritual authority? Mm-hmm. Yes. If you blow your life up, which one of those things am I? And I'm like, I'm all of them. Mm-hmm. If you get mad at me, because I'll have people say, we're leaving the church, but we'll still be friends. I'm like, yeah, but we won't. Because we won't hate each other, but not going to, because it's on a very, you're not upset with God, you're upset with me, and my whole job is to represent God. Mm-hmm. And so pastoring is very personal. Mm-hmm. And your family, I think Heidi and I have done the best that we can, and I think the kids are healthy. But you cannot help but get your family. When a family gets upset and they leave and it's your kid's best friend, and they're like, yeah, my dad hates your dad. Like it's that kind of a thing. So you cannot help. Mm-hmm. You do live in a fishbowl. Mm-hmm. You know, so you know, I always say, how do you know a person lives in a house that's too big?
It's bigger than yours,
probably. It's bigger than yours. How do you know a person makes too much money? They make more than you make, mm-hmm. right? How do you know their car is too new and nice? It's nicer than your car. So you just live under that, mm-hmm. you know? And then, and so that's kind of the negative side. Sometimes that can be really unfair. It just kind of is. The positive side is this, though. If I want to have a spiritual impact, I have to be willing to take spiritual responsibility. So if I do something stupid, it will be on the national news. I am very aware of that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm the one who wants to reach a ton of people. Mm-hmm. So God gives me, so to say, what we're asking for. Well, with that comes a spiritual responsibility. I don't get to say what I want. Sure. I don't get to do what I want. If an average person flirted with a girl on a business trip, it's just no big deal. If I do it, like, it's on the national news and my career is in line. Now, sometimes Patrick will be like, see, it's not fair. I'm like, no, that's actually really fair. Mm. Because it's kind of like being the president. I'm like, you want to be the president, 350 million people are going to stare at your life. Mm-hmm. That it's the way it is. So it comes with the territory. And whoever wants to be president might say, well, I really want to affect change. And I'm like, okay, well, that's the cost of that. Mm-hmm. So that's true in pastoring too. Like, I really want to reach every household in Northeast Ohio. Well, I have to bear that burden, and I have to live that life. Now, I will say, I think our church is amazingly gracious and loving to our families, and so I don't get like a ton of criticism that way. But it's just part of the uniqueness of it. The other thing that happens is this: the pastor. It's kind of like. If the firefighter's house burns down, who does he call? Mm-hmm. You know, and so the COVID was the clearest example of this. If I am responsible for the church, which ultimately is the individuals in it, when COVID happened, every single person I knew was in crisis, and I was spiritually responsible for every one of them. Mm-hmm. So you don't get the, like, how you feel, right? So it's kind of like there's other occupations, like medical people have been like this too, like mm-hmm. doctors is like, you just don't get to be worried about it. You got to go, you know, and I could go on and on, but that's a uniqueness of it. That's actually why the people that I relate to the most occupationally are doctors and cops and entrepreneurs. Hmm. So doctors are on call 24/7. So I've been on call every day of my life since June 1st of 1993. And so a doctor or a business owner can relate to that. Like, who else do you call? And then a police officer, I relate to them, or a firefighter, because you never know what alarm's going to go off. Mm-hmm. Like, I have my day laid out, and like, I guess we're not doing any of that anymore. Now, to me, that can be stressful and it can be overwhelming. To me, it's mostly fun and interesting, mm-hmm. you know? And so these are just flip sides of the coin, but it's what makes our life a little bit unique. And then if I can't have a healthy marriage, if I can't have my family healthy, I can't make the family of God healthy. Mm-hmm. If I break down or Heidi breaks down, it breaks down our ability to lead, at least temporarily. If my kids all hated Jesus, it would directly affect my ability to help your kids love Jesus. And so that's in the scripture. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can be... It can be painful most of the time it is a it causes me to focus and be balanced. Mm-hmm. That it causes me to invest in Heidi and the kids differently. Because I really wanted the kids to grow up loving the church. And we Heidi and I always prayed the kids would love Jesus, love us, and love each other. And then, like, number four was, like, and love the church. Mm-hmm. And God has answered all those prayers. But that's their decision. It's not mine. Right. All we could do is put them in that place.
Yeah. Well, I think that when folks are struggling to meet those requirements, the temptation can be, well, then I guess I'm not a part of the church, but kind of back to your pyramid, there's lots of other places to be connected and involved. It's just there's a unique calling and an appointment to being a pastor. Now, 1 Timothy 3 is one of the passages where a lot of these qualifications get borne out, and that chapter starts with if someone aspires to be a church leader, in this case an elder, like it's an honorable thing, it's an honorable mm-hmm. position. So if someone's listening to this, and maybe they're young and they're thinking, I think this might be the direction God's calling my life, or maybe they're a little bit older and they're like, I have felt this nudge, this stirring that maybe God's asking me to make a shift. Like, what are some of the first things that you might say to that person as they're starting to think and pray through, am I called to this type of direction and role?
Yeah, so when I think about that passage, I would think this. One of the things you have to do if you aspire to leadership or eldership is you have to make yourself known. Mm-hmm. And so, like, coming into service once a week, sitting in the back and hoping somebody discovers the wonder of who you are mm-hmm. is impossible, and it probably is immature. But looking and saying, like, I think our pastors and our elders are actually very accessible people. Like, hey, can I grab coffee with you? Can I serve along beside you? Like, mm-hmm. Why? I just want to get to know you, you know? And I have a dear friend, Lewis, and he's like, I want to help you with your basement. I'm like, why? He's like, I want to hang out. Like, but he's being incredibly sensitive. He's like, I know you're busy. And you're this and that, and I want to hang out with you and be better friends. I just help you, and sure enough, it worked. I love the guy, and we're pretty yeah. close now, you know. And so he doesn't have to help me every time I'm doing something, but there was a proactive step. And he's like, hey, no, I get it. I'll come along beside you. Mm-hmm. So I think making yourself known is one thing, is a big thing. The big thing for me here at Grace is this. Little statement, if servanthood's beneath you, leadership's above you. Mm-hmm. And so the path to leading at Grace is serving. And sometimes that path takes a while, but to me, it's wildly important. I tell a story about a guy years and years ago got mad at me because I never asked him to preach or sing. And I said to him, he goes, why not? I said, because you won't hold the door. Hmm. Like, you won't do the little things. And I would say this about pastors and elders. One of the things I will tell you about your elders at Grace Church is they serve. They do not walk around with name tags on. Some people don't even know who they are, but they are in the mix, and they are in the mix of people's lives. And sometimes the Bible says you have to be capable of teaching and preaching. It doesn't say you have to do that every week. Mm-hmm. So sometimes they're way in the background. They're praying, they're serving, they're watching over, they're helping, they're having coffee and influence. And that's the servanthood mindset. It's what builds credibility and trust. And if you've been coming to Grace for a little bit, I think you find that your pastors are that way too. Like, it's, why is it, but this happened a couple weeks ago. Like, why is it beneath me to get a shovel and shovel a sidewalk?
Sure, right.
You know, of course it's not. That's silly. It right. just needs done. And so, like, I think you would find this accessible, and I'm going to look and say, well, are you willing to do that stuff? Are you willing to love people? By the way, this is a little side note, it's why we don't have guest speakers at Grace. Hmm. I'm not anti-guest speakers, but I'm like, I would rather you hear from one of your pastors who maybe isn't the greatest preacher in the world, but he loves you mm-hmm. and hear his heart, right? And I'm like, so why would I bring in a stranger That doesn't make sense to me. Now, we might do a seminar or whatever. I'm not talking about you bring in a subject expert. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about like on our weekend. Lots of churches will have like speaking teams and people roll through. I'm like, yeah, no. You know, we have great speakers. You're one, and there's others, you know. But I'm like, why would I bring somebody in when Joe has spent, how long have you been on the team here?
Almost 18 years.
Yeah, he's loved you and served you for 18 years. Why wouldn't you hear from Joe? Mm-hmm. And he's a great speaker. And I don't, you know, we could go on and on and on. So it's just that, we're just different that way. I know like that we're unusual for the size of church that we are, how we function. But I will only let people, the one place that you'll see me exercise a lot of authority is I will only let people who love our congregation near them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I will be that gatekeeper because I'm like, no, I am tasked. I love you guys like a ton, right? So like my whole life, and I'm like, I don't take that for granted. And I'm like, you don't get to do that. You don't get to hurt or influence this family. And so I just want, I only want elders and leaders and even like small group leaders like that. Like, mm-hmm. like look at those, who cares about the curriculum? Love the people. And maybe we have to throw the curriculum out for the week because something blew up in somebody's life. And to me, that's how a church works. And even if we're doing hard stuff, like there's sin or we got to, you know, bump heads with somebody, like, man, it's got to, I don't know, man, it's got to eat you up inside, you know, because you're looking at a family or a brother or sister, whoever, that you love. And even if they're in horrible sin, you're like, you're blowing your life up, like, please. And that, I think that's what you see in Scripture, and that's, I think that is the heartbeat of the elders and the leaders, the spiritual leaders of Grace Church. I think that's part of why people come here is they sense it. Mm-hmm. You know, they sense it, and they, I don't know, we can tell if something's fake or not, and
sure.
It's just not. So all that swings together. God, the pyramid layers, that is from the Bible. That's not Grace Church organizational chart. But if you aspire to that, I don't think you, if you aspire to eldership, I'm not sure you're aspiring to a stage and a spotlight.
No.
I think you're aspiring to servanthood and thanklessness, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that's the way the church is designed to a degree.
Yeah. Well, I think that's very helpful. I think that, like we talked about at the very, very beginning, I think a lot of folks don't necessarily know what makes a pastor, why is that different than just being a normal spiritual leader? And I think you helped really walk through a lot of great distinctions that can really help people understand that this is, when it's done right, this is God's appointment. This isn't just a career path. This isn't just, hey, I decided I wanted to do this as a job. Like God's pushing buttons and pushing people and saying, this is where I, not only where I'm asking you to serve, but what I created you to be.
And I think the evidence of that is not the size of the church.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I think mm-hmm. the evidence is, are people accepting Christ? Are they being baptized? Are people moving spiritually? And is the church reproducing itself and or starting new churches? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you see in Acts as the sign of a healthy church. One of that is they are training and raising up elders.
Yep.
And then they're sending out missionaries and they're starting new churches. And I think a healthy church, you can get a really, really big church that's just a celebrity thing, and I'm not trying to be judgmental, but you can. Or you can look and say, man, they reproduce, they do this. Size then is kind of God's problem, mm-hmm. so to say. What we do with it is, I think, our directive. And that's where you'll always see Grace like multiplying. And a lot of times when we start a new campus, we're sending elders.
Yeah, right.
Out from existing ones because we want that church to be healthy. So
yeah. Well, that's awesome. And thanks for walking us through all of that. maybe this kicked off some follow-up questions for our listeners. And if you have those or any others, you can head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages and send them our way. We'd love to go ahead and tackle those together with you. And we'd also love to have a hear this is going for you. So don't be a stranger. Just had that happen this last weekend. Had a good chat with somebody that has been very helped by this podcast. So don't be a stranger. Send those encouragements along, or you can even subscribe, follow, rate, and review. Those are kind of the introvert ways to let us know that this is working for you as well. But of course, we'd love to see you at Grace this weekend if you're looking for a place to jump in and figure out how you can be a part of what Jesus is doing. Thanks so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.